Welcome to another episode of the Pink Glasses Convo. On today's episode, we're going to be talking, or actually we talked about faith in the Gen Z world. That's literally how that episode felt. I have no words. I was blessed. I'm so grateful that we have the guest that we did, who just blessed us and just poured out her heart, you know, into this episode. And so I'm really, really excited. You don't have to be a Gen Z to listen. You know, I'm not Gen Z and I was blessed. And so I hope y'all are blessed by this. I hope y'all get one or two things. And I hope the prayer at the end of this episode, you get to say it and you get to feel it and you get to experience it. So, this is definitely a solemn one. Not that bad, not too solemn, but it's definitely one that just kind of strikes the heart and touches everyone. So, anyways, sit back, relax, grab your cup of coffee, whatever you drink, water, and just really enjoy this episode. I'll see you on the other side when we talk to our guest. Bye. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pink Glasses Conversation. Today, I just said it like 2 seconds ago that I am going to be dropping mic. I wrote on my pen and paper. I'm going to be taking notes. I'm going to be having nuggets because the person that I have today, y'all don't know. Like, y'all don't know. I have, you know, my sister, definitely one that, like, I am just so grateful for the work of God in her life. And hey, like, I don't flatter because flattering is not a God, you know. But, like, I'm just really grateful to see the work of God in her life, to see kind of how much God is using through her. I think she's definitely one of those when kind of, like, I started in this line of work and I'm like, God, like, you have your own people, right? You know, and seeing her and seeing her walk with God just strengthens my faith. So anyways, I have Dara with me today. As in, Dara is Dara. I mean, it's only Dara that can make me drive 3 hours for a high school graduation and be shouting under the rain. Because it's only Dara. I mean, it is only Dara. Dara and her family have been my family for years now. You know, they've taken me in and loved me as their own. I stole her grandma, by the way. That one is a done deal. There's no argument about that. Our grandma is my grandma, you know. But I have, you know, Dara with us today. Dara is a young Gen Z. You know, she's going to be taking us through faith in a Gen Z world. Gen Z has suffered in our hands. They have suffered. And so Dara is here to clear the air on you guys kind of talking about their Afro gospel and how they serve God in their own unique way of like, yo, hold up a minute, you know. You know, Dara is a big Jesus lover. She's a worship minister. I've worshiped with her. You know, she loves the Lord. She has such a heart for the community and advocacy. She did a lot of work in high school. I mean, that I know of. I'm reading off the things that I just know in my head, you know. She did so much work in high school while she was in high school, kind of like just representing, you know, as a person of color in a very non-diverse community. There's like, you're not going to keep me down. I am going to raise my head up and raise it up high, you know, and I've been just so proud of that work. There is a first, you're not longer a freshman, right? Because you're going into second. Hey, God of Melvin. Hey, before you know it, I'm coming for college graduation. He's so tired of getting like this. Hey, God. But anyways, Dara, welcome. I'm giving out your bio finish. I've done your introduction for you. But any small thing that we made, help me introduce yourself.
Thank you so much for that, Auntie. But yes, she's covered everything. I can't think of more. She's covered everything. But yes, it's, I guess I'm our Gen Z representative.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Oh, no easy. Oh. This, it's been full of ups and downs and getting closer and falling back. But at mm-hmm. the end of the day, I've been so grateful because God always pulls me back. And I'm grateful that he draws me close to Clint and able to come back home into his arms.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this crazy world that tries to draw us away from that relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like that. Yeah, I tell people that me already put pen and paper beside me. It's the fact that, like, you know, it's very human of us to drop off. You know, life mm-hmm. happens, we go through low times. And so it's easy for us to drop off or kind of like put Jesus on the back burner and put faith on the back burner. But I think the mm-hmm. strongest one is coming back. You know, like the scripture says, it's like the righteous would rise again. He would keep rising, mm-hmm. right? He would fall seven times, he would rise at eighth. And so it's just great to see that we're starting on that note. And so we're talking about faith in a Gen Z world. We're talking about being a Christian in 2023. That's it. That's the caption. That's the conversation. That's the goal, right? We're talking about faith in 2023. Like, how do you even do that? So this might be like the battle of the, well, Gen Z and the non-Gen Z, but in terms of like a way, I feel like sometimes some people call me Gen Z, so I might not actually be fit for this conversation. But what does it really mean to be a Christian now, if there's anything like that? Like,
I think the most important thing that, especially for Gen Z, for this generation, is biblical backing and just having mm-hmm. that scripture with you at all times in the way you walk and
yeah.
the way you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
I know something that's being pushed right now is relationship over religion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I agree with, but I feel like it's also being pushed to like eliminate religion completely.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's religion. I don't have to go to church at all. I don't have to have Christ-like friends. Mm-hmm. I don't need to talk to God. I'm in this relationship,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like a lot of times what that relationship is seen as is mostly one-sided. Mm. I'm only going to call on God when I need something.
Yeah.
I'm only going to call God when I remember him.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I need this. I need that. I'm going to call on you real quick. And then neglect him
mm-hmm.
Every other day. Maybe I only call on God on Sunday. Maybe I only go to church.
Mm.
And boom, that's it for the rest of the week.
Mm.
And so it's important. I do love that this generation is pushing like it's important to have a relationship.
Yeah.
I also want to stress the importance of religion as well, you know.
Yep.
Going to church, staying consistent with God throughout the week, not just on Sunday.
Mm.
You know, there's so many ways to do that, through maybe midweek services
mm.
or even watching sermons. Something I just like to watch sermons
mm.
and throughout the week. It's good to, you know, this analogy of like you can't just charge your phone 100% one day and not charge it the rest of the week.
Mm.
That phone will die. And so it's important to continue to charge that phone, charge yourself with God
yeah.
multiple times throughout the week. So it's not just a one day, one and done deal,
mm-hmm.
you know, because God isn't a one and done God. God is a consistent God. He works every single day. He's a very consistent God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Alpha and Omega. Like there's no end to him. And so it's important to continue to seek him throughout every single day that you live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. It's like what it means to be a Christian now is valuing relationship and still upholding religion. I
mm-hmm.
think like we fall into the conversation of, and I get where people are coming from, of like Christianity is a relationship, it's not a religion, or like Christianity, it's about like your spirituality and not religion. But the way the word spirituality is so subjective in
mm-hmm.
the American culture,
so
I'm just gonna say it. let me just cut the I'm coming back to religion and relationship, but let me cut the corner a little bit and address, and let us, not me, let us address spirituality. People are talking about Gen Z and faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me, but if you say spirituality, at least for us, like growing up and all of that, like it means that, at least growing up in Nigeria, I see that you're a spiritual person. It means that most of the time you're either like deep Christian or like mm-hmm. deep Muslim, or like, you know, maybe you do African traditional religion. May God redeem your soul in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But now, the word spirituality in 2023 America, you're like, you have to be specific. Last thing. You
have to be. The thing that comes to mind is Christianity. Last thing, when I
please hear spirituality. Please tell me about this thing, because so that we can educate our non-Gen Zers. What's this thing with spirituality? Let's just digress.
Of it was during 2020 when everyone is inside our house, inside the houses. I think, you know, something was just, obviously something was in the air, and spirituality became crystals and worshiping crystals and having sage and incense. And that was, and it was like the universe was, quote unquote, what they wanted God to be. And they were searching for something more than themselves. They're like, oh, the universe will grant me this. The universe will grant me that. I'm going to put these crystals in my car, rose quartz, sage, all these things in my car, in my house, in these corners so that I'm protected. And then there's also evil eye, which is still going on. That, like, the eye, I think it originated, I don't know where it originated from, but how it's come to here. And, like, it's, oh, protect me from evil spirits. This, essentially, an idol. It's the icon of this eye, this blue eye, even a scary eye. And, like, that was used to protect me from spirits. But if you had it on, you were spiritual. There was like the spiritual girl, you know, aesthetic with all the necklaces and evil eye necklaces, crystals Holy everywhere.
Holy Ghost fire. What in the world is going on? It's like, so now when somebody tells you that they're a spiritual person, don't start quoting the scripture with them or their spirit. No jokes.
Like, yeah.
It's interesting though. It's like, and that's where I'm going to. It's like, oh, like it's spirituality, and I get that, but the truth is, kind of going back to that relationship and religion, what do people think religion is though? Because religion ain't a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Like, it's not bad to say, oh, you're going to church every Sunday. I think people take that and they're like, oh, it's not really about going to church every Sunday. And I get that. But I think now what we're having is a generation of people who will not go to church every Sunday because it doesn't matter. But I think that the devil sometimes could come in with that, because what that should mean is going to church every Sunday doesn't buy God. My going to church every Sunday is not to let God see, like, okay, Big G, you know I got it. I'm in church today. You got to do what I ask you. Now I tell you that, like, I want $1 million, so you got to give it to me because you know what? I'm in church on Sunday. That shouldn't be our purpose for going to church, right? It should be that I'm going to church. I can go to church every Sunday, but my mindset behind it should be that I'm going to be with my maker. I'm going to fellowship with my brethren. So the going to church every Sunday is not the bad thing. The why behind is what makes it bad. I can never get over, and I will never forget this thing that one of my brothers back in college would always say. He would say, before the act, let the heart be right. Before whatever you do, it's let the heart be right. So even if you're saying Christianity is like, it's a relationship, but like, that relationship that you're trying to go into is because you're wanting something, or it's because you're wanting for God. You are still no different than a person that is going to church every day to go to church, to God for something, right? So if you're picking your Bible every day saying, oh, I'm only doing this because, oh, they told me that, like, reading your Bible every day, I should do it. It's not bad to read your Bible every day. Maybe some way, somehow, you would get the light of understanding of why you should read your Bible every day. But that is not the end. Reading your Bible every day doesn't automatically check you as a Christian. Reading your Bible every day is a way to get close to God, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I do really appreciate that perspective of, like, Christianity now should be more about relationship. But it takes me to this of, like, I wanted to talk about, how is it different? How is faith now, if there is any, right? How is faith now different from faith then. How do you think, like, you do faith now that would be different from how Mommy O and Pastor O does religion? Like, have you seen any differences? Maybe that should be my question. Have you seen any differences in that, if any?
I feel like so it's funny. So I love what you're talking about heart posture is most important, because you can go to church all the time and not hear anything, not get zilch, because that was me growing up. I'd be in church 3 times a week. It was Sunday and vigil and Bible study, but my heart posture wasn't there. I was there physically, but my head was somewhere else. I was ready for it to be over with. I was like, I don't get the point of me sitting here. I don't know why I have to be in church this many times a week. I thought it was pointless. And so my heart was in a completely different place. And so even though I was there frequently, I wasn't comprehending. Maybe I was listening, but I wasn't digesting it and applying it to my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm grateful that I'm able to, but I think how do I word this? I'm grateful for that foundation, because even though, like, my heart wasn't in there, I would listen to all these things. I heard all these stories about Jesus. And, you know, those are foundational truths about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Now that I rededicated my life to Christ, now that I'm intentional about this walk with God, all those things they told me when I was younger, my ears is opening. Like, the earwax is, my ears is
opening.
My parents were preaching this, and at the time I was like, oh, whatever, it's whatever. But now I'm like, wait a minute, this makes sense. Like, this is why Jesus did this. This is why God is who he is. So that foundation is so important. Like, I was very bitter and upset. I didn't understand why I had to do it then. But all those things, all those seeds that were planted, all those mustard seeds are now sprouting and growing. And so it makes sense. So I wouldn't say that the faith is definitely different in many ways, but the foundation of the Bible and the word that just doesn't change will forever remain the same. And so I think just the part that's different is how people interact with the Bible and connect and maybe interpret that word and apply them to their lives today. I think that's where the differences come in.
I'm just writing my own nuggets. Everybody that is listening, all of you, take the one that you want. Me, I'm doing my own, you know. But the foundation is the same. I love that. It's like, I love how you said it's how people connect. It's how people interact with faith that it's different. Not that faith is different. It's the people's interaction with faith that is different. But one thing is sure, and that's the foundation. That never changes, and that should never change. That's where I'm going. We are probably going to do like a 10 minutes sidebar life as a PK. Just give people small. If we have time, we'll just wait till the last 10 minutes. And because if I go there, I'm probably going to just change this entire episode to life as a PK. I'll just cut the first half and move. So I'm just going to like keep it as therapy, because my body is itching my body to talk about it. But, you know, I like it is the truth. I like how you said it, of like, it's how we interact, because I've always struggled with this question of, maybe it's different now because there's a lot of you know, the world is a global village, media and all of that influence culture, and culture kind of goes beyond countries and goes beyond like the seas and the Pacific. Like, pop culture is not very popular in Nigeria. That's where I'm going to. You know, like, it's not as, like, the world was so different. No thanks to the internet, Instagram, TikTok. Like, you see these things, you can be in the corner of your home in Ajegunle, and you see a video from someone who lives in Hollywood, California, right? And there's influence. It's not like the days of no internet, right? Where it's only if you've got America that you have got America. It's what's only that has gone to America. And I'm using America because those are the two places I've been to. But it's only someone who has gone to America and comes back to Nigeria and buys socks and chocolate for you. You think, like, that's all they do in America is socks and chocolate, right? But now, I should be able to pick up my phone and go to Google and say, hey, where is Oregon on the map of the U.S.? What is going on in Oregon? What, you know, like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, the internet as all of that has made the world such a global village. The culture is now going connected. Into, it's now so connected, right? Like, I see, like, celebrities on red carpets out here in the U.S., like, African-American celebrities that will wear, like, African prints. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen some of them wear, like, Nigerian designers, and I'm like, cool, right? I've seen Nigerians get married and they're wearing Dubai, UK, US designers, right? Like, I'm seeing all of that to say that culture has so much mixed. However, I think, like, when I moved here, though, I still saw / see differences in how culture kind of impacts faith. I think there's just some things about being a Christian in Nigeria. You can either take that as a compliment or as an offense to whoever is listening. I don't want to know what side. It depends on the side of the spectrum. But I say all that, I go all of that to say that, like, there were still some differences in how faith was. For instance, it was so weird to me coming to the U.S. that we'll say that we're doing vigil. And vigil will end at 11 o'clock. And I'm like, what? In Nigeria, vigil is starting at 11 o'clock. And you're ending at 4 or 5 a.m. Right?
Even we come about this 9 to 11.
See?
I overnight.
See? It was always overnight. And so, like, I talk about how, like, culture has even, like, influenced kind of how we profess faith. And there are just some things about it. I've had conversations with friends who moved to the U.S. who say it takes double, triple of the intentionality that they needed back home to maintain their faith in the U.S., right? Or in a developed country, either they're in the U.S., either they're in Canada, and in the U.K. And I wonder, like, why should the culture, the existing culture in where we are, influence our faith, right? Which is a different conversation for another day. But I can take that to generation, right? That's what I'm doing. Yeah. It's like, why should our generational cluster impact our faith? Why? Like, why would you think, or what are those things that would impact our faith that would make it different for a Gen Z to someone in my mom's generation? Mm-hmm. What would make it different?
I feel like definitely the big thing is media and technology,
right.
But everything, and you know, technology media is good, but you have to be very, very careful with that. And I think through media comes definitely more knowledge, more resources, but I have to be very, very careful with that, because I guess my perspective only comes, I was born in Nigeria, but I grew up here, so my perspective comes from what I heard my parents, what I hear my mom and dad talking about there. And the stories about how school should be number one because there's no lights, no nothing.
Yep.
You 500 miles to school, you walk over the river, through the woods.
Yep.
There's a lot to do. So it's just like, and my mom would always say all she knew was school and church and like school and Bible. Those are her most two things because there wasn't the resources for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Like how I'm living here. That's why they call us the spoiled generation.
It's okay.
Because says to so much, to all this technology and people and cars and just all these things. So I understand with having conversations with other people and saying, like, you need to be a lot more intentional about continuing your faith here rather than in different countries.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like just the push of American culture and pop culture and media has definitely, I feel like it's not always rooted in, no, let me not say always, American pop culture is not rooted in Christ whatsoever.
Yep.
Especially with celebrities and music.
Yep.
Especially I can go in on music, especially with like just the things that are pushed to our generation. It's not rooted in Christ. It's just the world and popularity and living their life, I guess. And so that's what people of my generation see, even children, my younger siblings, that's what we see through YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all those ads. That's what's being pushed at us.
Mm-hmm.
So we take that and we think, okay, this is how we should live our life. This is how life is supposed to be.
Yeah.
We're going to forget God because we want to become rich. We want to become celebrities. We want to do all these things. And that's kind of what's been like pushed at us. And that's why it's altered and affected so many, so much religion.
Yeah.
Of what is just being pushed at us.
It sounds more like the struggles of this generation as well as what I'm hearing is that media and technology and music and pop culture is a struggle of faith in this generation. You know, it's the biggest thing that people of this generation or being a believer in this Gen Z generation, just like, it makes it harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have access to profanity without seeking profanity.
Mm-hmm.
You have access to the ungodly without... You can't just sit down and want to watch Netflix. You'll probably... I rest my case, that's all. That's it. I mean, what... Everybody gets what I'm going to. Like, mm-hmm. you just switch into being like, oh my gosh, like, you know... You want good content, and it says family friendly sometimes, and you're like, family, what? You know, I mean,
friendly for
which family is this? It's not mine, you know. So much is being pushed into the media. So much is going into the media now. I mean, plus or minus, that's it, right?
Yeah.
And so it makes it really hard, and I think now it almost makes me have more empathy or sympathy for people in this generation because, like, people in the older generation never had that. You mm-hmm. were only dead. I mean, they might not have had technology. They might not have been able to call somebody from Nigeria and get access to somebody in Alaska. And they might not have technology where you can just type the something. Now there's AI. Hey, God. I even feel like I'm already behind because I know nothing about this AI. And I'm still young. Hey, By the time this generation A people grow, or whatever generation they are called now, and they start using AI, I'm really going to be outdated. People are using, I have no idea. I feel like I have to up my game. I start looking into courses regarding AI because I know nothing, right? But then, like, while all those things are tools, like you were saying, they're also one of the pitfalls or downfalls of this generation.
Yeah.
And it makes it harder and harder. And so that means that wrong faith can be preached. Like, you don't have to seek wrong or, like, the Bible will call it, like, wrong doctrine. It's not, it will be brought to you in the corners of your home. You hear people profess faith and you're like, if you're not guarded by yourself, you know, you'll be like, you just fall trapped to it. And so those to me sound like the struggles of this generation is media. It's like, if you don't have the right foundation, if you don't have the right covering, you would fall, right? Compared to, like, some of us, like, it's easy to, because you already have some of that, like you were saying, you have that foundation, you have that covering, like, you can kind of tell right from wrong. But if you don't, it's really hard.
Yeah, that's why it's so important to pray for discernment and just, like, even if, no matter how far you are in your Christian journey, it's always, you need to go back to the basics. Even me, DK,
We're going there.
Even I had to go back to those basics, go back to the foundation, and making sure, just knowing what's right from wrong, what the Bible says, not what the world says, and making a strong separation between those two things. Like, it's pray for discernment. That's a serious prayer that I pray as much as I remember. And even in Proverbs, it says to guard your heart.
Yeah, with all diligence,
of what you take in, and that's it's. I understand, like, what you mean by that's why you have empathy, and because it's hard, it's scary when you see maybe like big pastors and mega churches preaching something, and it just, something tickles. It's like, that doesn't sound like, where's the biblical backing of that? That's not, that doesn't feel biblical. That's not biblical. And maybe this is the only experience of God. Maybe this is the first time going to that church, so that's where they're like, okay, I'm going to take whatever it said to me and I'm going to apply it to my life. This is right. You know, he's a pastor.
He knows this is correct. Yeah.
Do without seeking in for yourself. And that's why it's also important to seek out the truth for yourself by getting into your word. Yes, it's good to listen. Yes, it's good to listen to people's interpretations, listen to people and how they interact with the Bible. It's very important.
Yeah.
But you need to also seek it for yourself, because if you don't, mm-hmm. if you're just only listening and taking in that, and something maybe incorrect or something unbiblical is said, that like foundation is going to be rocky, because mm-hmm. that's not what God says.
Yeah. You know? And you're likely to take in poison. I said the person is likely to take in poison. You're likely mm-hmm. to take in, you yeah. know, by poison, I mean just wrong doctrine, which is poisonous to our faith.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I'm going at. You know, it's very poisonous to our faith. So I think maybe this is an encouragement to people. Like, when you see a Gen Z believer, give them a hug. Yeah, it's not easy. Life is hard. Because the generation of life that they're growing into, while some of us didn't have that from the get-go, and so there was that shell, there was that little shell, right? There was that little shell of protection. But now yours is even good. The Gen A's are worse. I mean, they're using high-end technology from age zero, you know, and they are just so exposed. Like, you see 7-year-olds having YouTube channels, and I'm like, I don't know how to operate a channel. I'm still struggling with follow, like, share, comment, share. And you see 7-year-olds having tons of followers. I mean, that I know that are ran by them. And I'm like, this is really hard, you know. But anyways, I again, please, if you have Gen Zs around you, I'm just going to pause and say, if you have young believers around you, I think it's easy for older people, which I'm not part of, quote and unquote, to easily castigate of like, you these Gen Z people, what are you people don't fit to, and all of that. I think we do have, as older people, and this is an encouragement, you know, the Bible talks about older women supporting, like, you know, teaching younger women, older men mm-hmm. teaching younger men. It never says something about castigating them and throwing the baby with the bathwater. And so I just really want to encourage people, like, if you have younger believers around you, even though the expression of faith, quote unquote, which we're still going to talk about, or which Dara has kind of mentioned a little bit, maybe their expression of faith or their interaction with the faith is not something, it doesn't fit with what you think the faith should be, is no reason to throw them away. It's no reason to make them feel like less of a believer. Please encourage them. Please pray for them. Please support them. Please draw them close, so that way you can have them on your podcast, right? you know, draw them close and draw them to them, because I don't know if you've experienced any of that, Dara, where like people kind of castigate you for being young and being a believer, and they're like, oh, you're not serious, or this generation is not serious. Have you ever experienced anything? Because I've had people experience that.
I'm very grateful I have not experienced it. I know people have experienced it and talked on their experiences, but no, I'm glad that my parents will always, like, install, like, it doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. Once you have Christ, you have everything you need, and you can get to the world.
Oh, yeah. I'm really glad you haven't had that. I've had a lot of people kind of experience that, and it really hurts, because, like, they feel like, hey, I'm just being in my generation. Like, I don't even know what to do. And I'm grateful to have been a PK, right? Mm-hmm. And for people who haven't even been a PK, who have just been naturally dragged to church, and you're starting and you're like, I don't even understand this, you know, and have that foundation. But anyways, it's just an encouragement for people to just really draw Gen Z believers close.
Yeah.
How would you say, like, because we talked about interaction with the faith being different, but the foundation mm-hmm. being the same. How do you feel like a Gen Z interacts with the faith differently? I have one, but
I think, no disrespect, no shade, but I think we're more fun.
Hey.
I don't know.
Hey, bullets left, right, and center. Y'all chop your own. All of you that you're listening, that you're not Gen Z, just hide your face. Go on. Go on.
It's fun. I feel like I found so much true joy through able to be like worship nights, and it'll be like groups hosting worship nights.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus marches, which is, I went to one in Portland, and it was so amazing.
Yeah.
But not the target market, but the like, biggest group was like young people, and it was just beautiful to see. Staying active in youth groups and youth ministries, is something that I love, and I don't know, we have a way to
it's
very enjoyable.
So we are not enjoyable, and I'm saying we like as if I'm 75. I'm with you. I'm a Gen Z. I receive it. I'm Gen Z in Jesus' name. I'm a Gen Z. I'm even done with it. You cannot be yoing us up about. I'm Gen Z too. But yeah, I mean, let's kind of flesh that out a little bit, because one thing I was definitely going to say is music. Like, you have Christian, and I know that there have been some Christian rap. I mean, like, back in the day, like, I mean, some years ago, even before Gen Z, like, there's this amazing artist, Gaze Baba, who I know does Christian rap. I know back in the day, Midnight Crew, you know, they had this different flair to gospel music, right? It was this kind of like, it was like an Afro, like, they were, I almost want to say they're one of the pioneers of, like, Afro gospel. Not like you have now, you have Spirit of Prophecy, you have Great Man Tech Kit, you have all those people who are now, like, more Afro gospel, right? But there's some people that really started it back in the day, but they were still castigated against, right? Because then worship music was the Tokpe Alabis, the, you know, the Mama Yetunde Ares, the Mommy Tokpe Alabi, with all due respect, which those are still gospel songs, you know, those are, those people are not less, you know, there are so many gospel artists, like the Bruchis, I mean, so many, like, I'm trying to even sieve out as many as I could say, but those were gospel music. Solemn, cool, if there was some type of beat in the background, if there was some type of, you know, tempo. I mean, I remember growing up, I danced to every single Kenny Corey song. I did choreography to every single one of it. And Midnight Crew back in the day. I mean, those are people who had a link. They started the upbeat Christian music a little bit. They were taking it up. It was non-traditional, you know, that you could dance to. It wasn't, you know, stuff. But anyways, now, Afro gospel is a movement. It's you, like, you listen to the song and you're like, what kind of song are you listening? And then you're hearing the song and you're like,
wait a minute,
this is a Jesus song, you know. I mean, there's Prince as well, who is just like, there's a Nigerian gospel artist that I know. I mean, I know that there's a Cray out here in the US. Which one did you say, Dara?
Limbo Blaze.
Yeah.
Music. I'm going to Wisconsin in Canada.
Hey, you are taking me with you. I can bend, I can fold.
I'm free on the top of my lungs.
That was me at the Maverick City concert. Maverick City. Hey, let me never go there. But, you know, you get where I'm going to. It's like, there's this huge generation of Afro gospel singers, you know, or that just seeing gospel music in a different way. And I know there are times older generations listen to it and they're like, you're spoiling the song of the Spirit of God, you know. And there have been conversations, because while that is also growing, there's also this growing trend, at least among, I'm being very specific now, at least in the Nigerian world that I know of, this growing, you know, kind of season of, like, chants. Where people are singing chants like the Lawrence Oyo, the Sumisola Baby, you know, like, so many kind of new trend gospel. I think there's Abiel Drummo as well, you know, like, gospel artists, they're like more like their style of worship is more enchanting. There's Teofilo Sunday. I mean, there are those that are gospel artists. And so it's like, if you're Afro gospel, you're not really Christian as much as the other side of, you know, Christian gospel singers who are more chanting, or like, oh, you're not like the staples, like the CIA call and the Nathaniel Bassi and all of that. And so, like, I feel like that's one way that the interaction with the faith is different with this generation, because Afro beats is a thing, and, like, Afro, you know, kind of like content is a thing. And so bringing that into gospel sometimes feels like it's not Christian enough, but it is. It is. I know you listen to some of them, because someday you're going to call that music concert with me, of course. But, like, what do you think about that? Like, let's talk about the music part.
I love the new artists who, let me reword this, because I remember when I started my faith, like, I love music, but I wasn't really listening. I listened to gospel music, maybe only, like, maybe getting ready for church on Sunday, or, like, maybe with my parents in the car. But now that it's all I listen to, I've been able to find more and more of the genres that I used to like, and I'll search up like gospel after that, or like Afro gospel or something like that, and I'll just be listening and listening. And even if I'm not paying so close to attention to the lyrics, it's God's word through the lyrics, mm-hmm. but it's Christian based, and so it's preaching into my life. Mm. It's those words are manifesting into my life.
Yeah.
And so now I love it. And I found so many. I have all my new little, I even said in my bio, yeah. Mickey's playlist.
Yep.
And so I have all these new like gospel playlists. I love mm-hmm. neo soul. So now I have like Jesus, lover of my neo soul. I'll have Afro gospel mm-hmm. and just listening, finding the music that I used to like, but finding gospel artists who make mm-hmm. that same kind of music mm-hmm. has been beautiful thing that's been mm-hmm. to see it physically changing in my life mm-hmm. because even with like music is a spirit that doesn't need permission to like enter your body. That's why I said I can go on and on just talking about music and
let's
how you have
do.
To be very,
let's do
very guard your heart
mm-hmm.
with lyrics and music that may seem innocent but is not. Yep. So maybe the artists itself are antichrist. I've seen videos, and it's very, very scary. And so, like, at every chance, I'll always put on some sort of gospel music. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to the gym, if it's rap I want to listen to, I'll listen to my Gym with Jesus playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's beautiful seeing the creativity of Christians and being able to apply that to music that we listen to. Mm-hmm. Because, like, music is like, oh, it's just music. You always hear it. But you have to be very, very careful with what you're always hearing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll enter you whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful for these new artists.
Oh yeah, I mean it is a touchy subject, you know. There are many schools of thought around listening to other music and listening to Christian music and the influence of that, and I always say it doesn't mean that it's a sin, but you know mm-hmm. the Bible talks about is all things are allowed for me, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna do every single thing, right?
Yeah.
If eating something is going to make my brother sin, why am I going to eat it, right? Because the salvation mm-hmm. of the soul of my brother is more important to me than me being allowed to be able to eat a certain thing or being able to do a certain thing, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the foundations of scripture. And so I am 101% aligned with you when we say that, like, be careful of what you listen to. Be very, mm-hmm. very, very careful of what you listen to. It doesn't matter the generation that you are. That's why I'm grateful for the other generation, like this generation rather, and this new wave of music and how it's been presented. That I don't want to use the word fits into this generation, but it's mm-hmm. I think a better way to say it is that it brings in, what'd you say?
Yeah. I was gonna say it's targeted.
Yeah. Yep.
It brings in
this generation, which is what mm-hmm. we want. We don't want any generation to be lost because the generation is different, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And so I am grateful to be able to go to the gym and not think that if I don't listen to a specific set of artists, they're not active and I'm asleep, you know, mm-hmm. Doing triceps, right? Or doing biceps, like, but I can listen to Called Out, I can listen to the Mode Blaze, mm-hmm. and I can still feel like that pump, I can still feel like that beat and that soul and that sound that I want to.
Yeah,
I mean, look at the Jesus marches that you talked about. Mm-hmm. I don't think I heard of, I mean, we did outreaches, which is totally different, but I think a march is very Gen Z style.
Even when I saw it, I was just very surprised. I didn't know anything about it. I just saw it on like maybe an ad for the one in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I watched videos like, this looks very impactful. This looks very powerful. Mm-hmm. This is something I want to be a part of. Didn't know anything about it. Never been to anything like it before. Mm-hmm. Never even an outreach that big.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I'm driving, I'm zooming an hour and a half to go to this event. But it was very, very, very beautiful and very impactful. And you're right. I think it's definitely targeted towards, I guess, my generation, even though there was lots of families there, lots of old and young people, mm-hmm. everybody. But I think the biggest group was youth, was Gen Z. And
it's just so powerful.
Like, it just reminds me of that verse in Timothy mm-hmm. that says, like, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young.
Yep.
because I was young people that I saw the most, and like young people were getting baptized, people were getting delivered. Amen. People were rededicating their lives to Christ, or just dedicating their lives to Christ for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful to witness that. I was just overwhelmed. I definitely, whenever I'm in the presence of God, I start crying.
Yep. Of course. Yeah.
And I'm just seeing all these beautiful, wonderful things happen around me. I'm just overwhelmed. And I see, look at God. I love saying, look at God. Just see Jesus work through people mm-hmm. who may be belittled because of older age and all that stuff. And look at them. Yeah. People to Christ, encouraging people to Christ, dedicating their life to Christ, mm-hmm. and just all these beautiful things. It was so powerful to be able to witness that firsthand.
Yeah. I think God has, and I was just writing this down, and you know, there's no better time to say it. God is still God, and God mm-hmm. is going to work regardless of the generation. And God mm-hmm. is going to have his people regardless of the generation. No matter how perverse a generation seems to be, of like this phone generation, always on their phone, always on TikTok, always on Instagram, God still has his people.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we think, whatever generation you are, that we were the most holy and the most righteous group, God still has his people. God is building his generals for this generation. God is building mm-hmm. the people that he's going to, he's building the, you know, the Catherine Kuma, you know, he's building the Ayo Babalolas, he's building mm-hmm. the, you know, like the different men of faith, you know, across all countries, across, he is building them for this generation. It's not about mm-hmm. what we think, it's about what God thinks. And what God thinks yes. is that he will always have his people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you think that you're the only person that has not bowed down to Baal, well, think again, because God has thousands that he has kept in the bank that haven't bowed down mm-hmm. to Baal as well. And so this is just a reminder to us of like what I said earlier, like don't castigate a generation because of the generation and just throw mm-hmm. out the baby with the bathwater. It's like God is still working in them. What would you ask for? Or what would you... Two things. I'm going to separate it. First, what would you encourage to people who are like you in your generation, in your age range, being a believer? If you could talk to them, so maybe someone struggling with their faith. I mean, we've mm-hmm. talked about what it means to be a Christian. We've talked about how the interaction of faith could be different, but the foundation of the faith is the same. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. Ain't no foundation better, ain't no foundation greater. It's only going to mm-hmm. be Jesus Christ, right? The fact that you listen to Limo Blaze and I want to listen to Nathaniel Bassey doesn't make me the more spiritual than you, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would you encourage someone in your generation in their faith?
When right before I rededicated my life to Christ, and like when God encountered me, something that I saw that I wrote down was, if you're not consistent with God, you won't be consistent with anything else. Mm. Like consistency is something I've always struggled with. Like even in faith, like I'd have my high moments, like maybe going to church camp, I'd like feel, oh, I feel God. And then when I leave, it would be gone. Like definitely had my ups and downs.
Yeah.
But like I just told myself, okay, I wrote this down. Me and consistency, we don't go together. It's like water and oil. I've never been able to listen to a lot of the things in my life, but when I wrote that down, like being if you're not consistent with God, you can't be consistent with anything else. Mm. That completely like shifted my perspective and the way that I live my life.
Mm.
And so it's very hard when you feel like, oh, I'm praying, like I'm doing this. Mm. But I don't see God working. I don't feel God working. Mm. And what's that song? Even when I don't feel that you're working, even when I don't see that you're working, you never stop working. Just remembering that. And also knowing that like through this, maybe you're in a period of waiting or just waiting for something, praying for something. But like God is still working. Even if you don't necessarily feel it, God is still working. He's even like testing your faith. He's bettering your faith through that trial of waiting and trying. So just continue to be persistent. Even me right now, I'm in that era. I'm in that, like, I need to be persistent and consistent with God. And he's definitely working on my faith right now because, I'm praying for a miracle before school year starts. And so because I'm living it right now, mm-hmm. I'm going to encourage my fellow peers to do the same. Mm-hmm. Just be consistent with Christ. Even when it's hard, the first thing should go for is your daily bread is the word of God. That's when you wake up, I want to thirst for God. I want to draw close to God. When I'm hungry, I'm going to go to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
No. And look, I guess searching for God or like being consistent with God,
mm-hmm.
just that relationship can look like many different things, whether it's being in your word, being in the Bible, whether it's worshiping, even like when you're brushing your teeth, shaving your face, you can be worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's also important to realize that worship doesn't always look like, you know, on your knees, crying,
mm-hmm.
Singing, which it is, and that's a beautiful feeling, but it can also be through like your day about, like everything you do through the day. You know, it's really common for people to say like, oh, I don't have time for God because I have to wake up, I have to go to school, have this job, do these extracurriculars, this internship. And something that God really dealt with me is like, you can't find time for God, you need to make time for God. Mm-hmm. And so whether that looks like, you're brushing your teeth, you're singing worship songs, you're just like giving glory to God, like, thank you God for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, for allowing my limbs to be able to move and brush my teeth. Thank you, God, like on your way to driving to work or anything in the car, like maybe you'll just pause your music. And even if you're listening to gospel music, you can pause the music and just like, just speak to God, just talk to God. Like, God, I'm thankful for this. Thank you, Lord, for letting me go from point A to point B without any emergency. Just being able to worship and praise God throughout your everyday life is something that has really helped me and just shifted my perspective of like, oh, I don't have time to sit down and worship.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It doesn't have to make sense. It has to make spirit, right? And so like that is the truth though. I have learned that I went through a discipleship. God, I have gone through so many discipleship classes in my life. Life of a PK, right? We're good there.
Hey.
And like I remember that, you know, we're talking about kind of devotion and worship and all of that. And we talked about how actually the biggest form of devotion is the one that we carry throughout our day. Because where I have seen, and hey, this isn't bad. Let me give the disclaimer. But where I have seen is that we get into the trap, quote unquote, of like, I'm giving God 30 minutes in my morning. For instance, and I'm going to do my devotion, I'm going to worship, I'm going to close my Bible. What happens though, some of the time, if we don't have true revelation and true understanding, is that the moment we close our Bible, God forbid, we close God there. And that ends. The moment we step in our car, we abuse the bus driver, the tricycle driver, the bicycle driver, you know, our heart is somewhere else. We leave God on Sunday and in the morning or at night in our devotion. And we're like, no, leave God out of this one. This one is work. Or, leave God out of this one. This one is business. Or, leave God out of this one. This one is academics. But the truth is, God is involved. There's no spiritual life and other life. My spiritual life is all my life. Like, everything about my life is spiritual. My work is spiritual. My work is spiritual. My school is spiritual. My reading my Bible, my reading my book is spiritual. My working with clients is spiritual. My customers is spiritual. My children are spiritual. My husband, my fiance, my boyfriend, the work of God that I do, my cooking is spiritual. The food that I eat is spiritual. How I serve my community is spiritual. How I serve my church is spiritual. The gifting of God upon my life is spiritual. Like, the way I make hair is spiritual. You know, like, I'm going to put you on the spot. Don't let mommy listen to this part of the recording. But there are times we have, you know, had conversations with your mom, Dara, and she's like, she's struggled to recipes for months and she's like praying over it and she prays a lot and she sleeps and she has the exact idea, the exact measurement for the exact recipe. You all should check out Flourish Foods, by the way, if you're in the US. Like, I mean, it's family business, which I'm part of the family, you know, but that's how you know someone who has embedded God in their daily life. You know, this is not an excuse not to have money devotion or night devotion or day devotion.
No.
This is an encouragement to keep the devotion going. This is an encouragement to carry God with you along the way, whether you're Gen Z or not, you know. And so I appreciate you touching on that the importance of consistency, the importance of discipline. My pastor said something today, and he was like, he was talking about discipline And it was so, the way he talked about it, and he talked about obedience, and he was saying it in a way of, like, I'm paraphrasing, it is the Holy Spirit that helps you to be disciplined, not the other way around. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you with consistency. I cannot go, if it has to do with something that has to do with God, which, like I've said in the last 2 minutes, is everything that has to do with my life. If I want consistency and I want discipline in something, if I say, Olaoluwa, I must be disciplined today. See this day, I have to read my Bible. 6:30 to 7:30. And I try to do it by my strength. That's no longer faith. That's no longer Christianity. That's no longer working with God. That is me by myself and I. And the Bible tells me that in him I live and move and have my being. So that means in him I have consistency. In him I have diligence. In him I have discipline. In him I... Does that make sense? You know, and so that is faith. Is that I'm trusting God through every process and I'm carrying God through every process. Maybe you forgot to read your Bible today and you're driving to somewhere. You're driving to work or you are in a bus and someone is worshiping. You're just joining worship. Or your heart goes to some. You can't say, I'll pray for that person when I get to my devotion tomorrow morning. No, I pray for that person right there, right now. You touch on that person right there, right now, as God gives you strength. That's why, if you know me very well, a lot of times you will hear me saying, as the Lord gives me strength, as the Lord gives me strength. It's one thing for God to give me strength and for me to be disobedient. That's another conversation. But it's one thing for God to really do give me strength, because I think that is the true faith that transcends generations, that transcends culture. Is that my entirety of my being is inside God. It's like I want to take my breath. I'm like, shall I breathe God right now? I'm sorry, I can't translate that. I just breathe God inside of me right now. I take a deep breath. Yes, something tells me it's there. Oxygen, breathing oxygen, hydrogen, whatever. I'm breathing in God, I'm exhaling God. That is the height of faith, you know. And that is the most power. So I really appreciate you saying that. It's consistency in our work with God. If there was anything you can ask from people of other generations, I've had a few people to beg them, but if there's anything you can ask from people of other generations, people who are older, parents, uncles, sisters, big sisters, aunties, whatever, uncles, of like, what would it be regarding the issue of faith?
I can ask generations.
If you can encourage anybody else that isn't in your generation that doesn't have your experience, or say something to them, what would it be?
I think this is definitely something we've touched on, but the most important part is like knowing that the foundation in Christ is never changing.
Amen.
No matter what generation we're in, that is the truth and that is the base. Even of... Let me not say that.
Hey.
that's the most important thing. Let me stop that. I almost had a message to my African aunties, but
say if it's not good, I will cover you. say with African aunties, you people, you have covered us in front of all the gent. Say it. What have we done? African aunties, what have you done?
You're not in the...
I will beg for all of them. I will beg.
Yes, the most important thing is Christ and that foundation.
You people have traumatized Dara. She doesn't want to talk. Don't worry, Dara. We'll talk in camera. We'll talk off camera. But that is the truth, though, is that the foundation of our faith, it will never change regardless of the generation. I think that's probably the biggest quote from today, is that the foundation of our faith would never change. And that's where, even though I didn't have a route, that is where I wanted that foundation to be. It wasn't in any way to be like, Gen Z's are worse, or Gen Z's are better, or our generation is good, their generation is bad, their generation can do this better. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Everybody should go and meet the Holy Spirit for that, to convince their hearts in their own way, because even no matter what I say, it's the Holy Spirit that does the transformation, right? And so, but the one thing that we can say for sure is that regardless of what generation, regardless of what culture, you're American, you're African-American, you're Asian-American, you live in Canada, you stay in Australia, you live in Germany, you live in Edinburgh, I don't know why they call it that, in the UK, you know, you're from East Africa, you're from the Americans, you know, you're from wherever, and you are a person of faith, the foundation of your faith should never change. It should never change. It should never change. And that is why you knowing God for yourself and following God for yourself. I appreciate you, Dara. I appreciate you coming on here. I'm definitely still going to end this so that we can talk in camera what the African aunties have done to you. You know? But I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate you coming in. We touched a lot about our life as PKs. I've shared multiple times how I grew up as a PK. But that is a double PK, quote and unquote. You know, and she touched about, and I want us to just do this for like this. What do you call it? Like this, like an addendum. That's not the word I'm looking for, but that addendum can fit into whatever. You know, like an addition to our conversation is, as a PK, even if you're not a PK, for most of the kids, you grow up being asked to go to church. You don't know faith. Mm-hmm. You don't really know Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And I've struggled with it because I'm like, have I really given my life to Christ though? Because I grew up in the church. It's not like I was outside and they brought me inside. I grew up in the church. I found God and I stayed in the church. But that doesn't mean I'm not a believer, right? And you said something about just a personal decision of like being intentional. Just touch on that, just a little bit. Just give us a season. Just a little bit. Yeah, just touch on it a little bit.
Yes. Oh my, yes. This that happened when it was winter break after my first term of college. And like, I guess that first term, like I really wanted to, it was so funny. So as a PK, when I was going to college, I wanted nothing to do with church and Christ. I was so excited. I was like, no one has to force me to wake up at 7 a.m. and go to church, be at church 9 a.m., leave 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. No one has to force me to be there. I'm my own person. I can do whatever I want. You know, no one's on my back. Make sure I'm in church this many times a week. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny. It's looking back now, I'm like, I can't believe, you know, because that was what I was looking forward to the most. But and I guess like I lived out of the church. First term I went to church like maybe like once, like just rarely. Like no one forced me to do anything. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm not gonna do it. And it was winter break, and I was back at home in my room, and that's when God just encountered me and spoke to me, and just everything that I like, all of the things that I thought, my perspectives, and just everything just got flipped because God really dealt with me and like talked to me. He's like, Dara, like this life that you want to live, like that's not the life that I want for you. This leaving Christ, that's not something, because he always draws his children near. He's a shepherd. He always brings his sheep back. And that's exactly what happened. And so like then with that encounter, I made that decision, like I want to be intentional with my relationship with God. I want to know who God is for myself, not what my parents have preached to me, not what this youth leader, this pastor has told me. I want to know God for myself. Like, who really are you? Amen. And I remember that night specifically. It was like a couple days before 2023. Mm. That night, I bought a new Bible, new highlighters, new everything. Because I was like, I want to start afresh. I want to be very intentional. I don't want anyone to tell me, not in a like private way, like, oh, I don't want anyone to tell me anything about Christ. But like, I was like, I want to find out who God is for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I see God living through people. I see people testifying. I was like, I want that for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it mean to have Christ in you? I was very intentional. And so, yeah, I remember I bought a new Bible, new everything. Yeah. And I did my best to be consistent with Christ. Mm-hmm. And through that, I'm so much more in love with Jesus. And he's way more in love with me than I can even fathom, which is such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. He loves his children dearly. I'll never be able to put into words the love that Jesus has for us, for his children. And so since then, it's been very, very beautiful. I think the main project I've been working on, not really like a project, but like my personal project with God, is like knowing the names of God and how they apply to my life. Like Jireh, the God who provides. I feel like the Lord is my shepherd. I will lack nothing. Like he always provides. Knowing his name, Rapha, God is the healer. Elohim, like all these names. And knowing them and applying them to my life has been a very beautiful thing. I think that was like the first thing I did when I was like, I want to know who you are, God. I want to be intentional with you. And I've been able to continue doing that and learning more about God, reading the Gospels, reading just all the way in the stories in the Bible and how he works through that. It's been a beautiful discovery, and it just fills me up with so much joy and so much love.
Hey, isn't that what the understanding of God does to you, though, is that when you walk in the understanding of God, you're filled with so much joy. And I just pray for you that, you know, that joy will not cease, you know, that joy will not go. In fact, it would be fired up, you know, and that you continue to go. That's always been my heart prayer for you. Well, it's not easy to be a PK, you know. It's I think the difference between, but just people out there who you grew up going to church, but you're like, I know in my heart of heart that I have no relationship. I'm just going to church because my mom is waking me up every day to go to church. Or maybe as a PK, you've been given this automatic responsibility. I think I talked about it in one of the previous episodes as well, of like, there's just this responsibility for you to be the best girl. The best, particularly as a female PK, you have to be decent, you have to be good, you have to be able to teach the children's church, you have to be active in church ministry. Like, you just have to be check, because you're the pastor's kid. So, you know, that way, where you know in your heart of heart that you're like, it's sure me die that I know that I don't have a relationship. When I pray that God would encounter you wherever you are, God encountered her in her own room. You know, maybe it's the anointing from Daddy and Mommy's room that was flowing into your room. It was right next to yours, right? You know, God encountered me in college, right? I went to my college because of my... I chose my college because of my college ministry. And that's where I encountered God. That's where, like, it was the joy. I've been going to church. I've been teaching to Jesus church. I mean, I can say the whole portfolio, but the true transformation where I was like, this is a relationship with God that I want to grow in and be intentional in, that's college. God might meet you at a friend's house. God might meet you through a worship. Whatever it is, if you've just been going to church, you've just woken up every morning, it doesn't matter your age. You could be in your 20s, 30s, and you're just still doing it because you were born into it, because that's just what it is, and there's no relationship. As we're talking about faith, we're not out of line to talk about this as well. It's just that God will encounter you wherever that is. He might, if it would be a blessing if that encounter is right here and right now in this conversation, right? And that's the importance of this conversation. And so, again, I say a big thank you to you, Dara, to come on such a short notice to be able to bear it, you know, in that type of way, to say, this is what we are, this is who we are, but we're still people of faith. And just to share from your encounter with God and to share from your journey with God. And if there's anything I know God is just being started with you. He's just getting started. There are greater heights, you know, that he's taken you to. So I say a very big thank you. You know, I say a very, very big thank you to you. Is there anything else you want to say to wrap us up on our convo today?
You've hit every nail on the head.
AKA, it means go and first digest all those ones first and come back. So that's how we're gonna end it. You know, digest it, like it, share it. If there's someone that you've listened to and you're like, I think I know somebody that this is for, or I want to send it to my baby sister who thinks that because she's of a generation, or my baby that because they think they're a generation, they don't have to know God. This is your light. This is the green light telling you to go and to share it. So thank you, Dara. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for joining PGC. And you know me. I'll see you in another episode. Bye-bye.